Freckle Cream. Could it be the latest clue in the Amelia Earhart mystery? The FAA faces a looming congressional deadline on ATC updates. And NASA is going hurricane hunting. This is Aero News for Monday, June 4th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Could fragments of a Freckle Cream jar hold the key to the disappearance of Amelia Earhart? Members of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, TIGER, hope so. TIGER has made 9 expeditions to the tiny island of Nikumaroro in the Southwest Pacific Republic of Kiribati, hoping to solve the mystery of the disappearance of Amelia Earhart. Discovery News reports that jar fragments were found together on Nikumaroro Island, and when pieced together, they are very similar to a pot sold early in the 20th century containing Dr. C.H. Berry's Freckle Ointment, which was guaranteed to make freckles fade. The concoction was said to be about 11% mercury. It is well known that Amelia Earhart had freckles and that she was not particularly happy about having them. However, the jury is still out on whether or not the jar fragments found by TIGER actually belonged to the aviatrix who disappeared 75 years ago. Nikumaroro was known as Gardner Island at the time of Earhart's flight and was on the navigation line described by her in her final in-flight radio transmission. The FAA's plan to consolidate hundreds of outdated ATC facilities is still not ready, with just 2 weeks to go before the congressionally mandated deadline. This could potentially delay the $40 billion program to modernize the United States air traffic control system. The hang-up is that there's no agreement yet on plans to close, consolidate, or realign over 400 ATC facilities across the nation, many of which are in disrepair. A big component of the upgrade is NextGen, and the new system is reliant upon the consolidation of ATC facilities, a process that could take as long as 2 decades. The deadline from Congress is part of the FAA reauthorization signed into law in February. At that time, the FAA was given just 120 days to submit a plan. Members of the House of Representatives Subcommittee on Aviation expressed frustration that the FAA waited until the last minute to finalize the plans. The FAA is planning to start the consolidation process in the notoriously congested airspace of the New York region, a project that will place high-altitude and low-altitude controllers under one roof. The FAA estimates that it will cost $2.3 billion to construct its first 4 integrated facilities, but it has only $700 million set aside for that project. Just next month, the Weather Channel is set to debut a new TV docudrama called Hurricane Hunters, a new character-driven documentary series revealing the high-stakes world of pilots who fly planes into hurricanes to gather meteorological data from the eye of the storm. The show tracks their lives and dangerous missions during the height of hurricane season. Well, not to be outdone, and also starting this summer and continuing over the next few years, NASA will be launching UAVs designated Severe Storm Sentinels above storms to assist weather researchers and forecasters in uncovering information regarding hurricane formation. NASA centers will be cooperating with federal and university partners in the mission-designed Hurricane and Severe Storm Sentinel, or HS-3. This airborne mission will investigate hurricane formation and the processes that result in changes in storm intensity over the Atlantic Ocean. TSA and the European Commission have announced what the two organizations are calling an unprecedented air cargo security partnership with the European Union and Switzerland, paving the way for improved information sharing, stronger security, and more efficient transportation of cargo between the United States and the EU. Air cargo traffic between the EU and the U.S. amounts to over 1 million tons a year traveling each way across the Atlantic, which is over 20% of all outbound air cargo for the EU, according to 2010 figures. As of last Friday, June 1st, TSA and the EU will mutually recognize their respective air cargo security regimes. While TSA has recognized other countries as having equivalent air cargo security, this announcement marks the first time TSA has recognized a union of nation states. As a consequence of this EU and Switzerland-wide recognition, private industry can move cargo through the 27 EU member states, the U.S., and Switzerland, while following only a single set of security rules. Critics of a garbage transfer station less than half a mile from LaGuardia's Runway 31 petitioned a federal appeals court to force the city to defend itself against claims of increased bird strike hazards. Attorneys for the FAA and a group called Friends of LaGuardia Airport gave arguments in front of a 3-judge panel of the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, but there was no immediate ruling. The Associated Press reports that the issue landed in appeals court after the FAA determined that the North Shore Marine Transfer Station is not a hazard to New York's airspace. The FAA has said if the facility became a threat, it could force changes through the airport's operator or by modifying flight procedures to ensure safety. Friends of LaGuardia argued bird collisions similar to those which brought down U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in January of 2009 could occur again. The North Shore Transfer Station is scheduled to open next year. Opportunities to expand economic activity in the northeastern U.S., thanks to business aviation at Teterboro Airport and other area airports, will frame discussions of an upcoming NBAA event. Business aviation at Teterboro alone generates more than 15,000 jobs, $670 million in wages, and $1.8 billion in economic activity every year, a fact that will be highlighted at the NBAA's Business Aviation Regional Forum, to be held at the first aviation facility in Teterboro Airport on Thursday, June 7th. The forum expects to draw more than 1,500 attendees to hear updates from industry and government leaders. And speaking of expanding economic activity, the Southern Wisconsin Regional Airport, KJVL, has broken ground on a $1,460,000 terminal building renovation project. In total, 4 development projects will be spread over 4 years with the intent to enlarge and modernize the 50-year-old general aviation facility. KJVL is owned by Rock County and serves over 100 general aviation and corporate aviation clients. It's estimated that the airport will see between 60,000 and 70,000 operations this year. The RockCountyAlliance.com website says the airport offers vital air connectivity at lower cost than larger commercial airports and has been in service for over 60 years. When Aero News continues, looking for a night of fine dining? Try a metropolitan airport. Solar Impulse is waiting for weather. And duplicating Lindbergh's feet by battery.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, June 4th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A new trend in airport dining is boosting cuisine above stale French fries and greasy burgers. Celebrity chefs and regional restaurateurs are making airport dining an experience to be enjoyed and not just one of last resort. The renaissance, they say, is due to the recognition that while travelers are a captive audience, they will pay for something more substantial than fast food from a chain and would appreciate higher quality food in more stylish surroundings. CNN reports that Skytrax Awards now include categories for Best Airport Restaurant and offers up these sample reviews. One Flew South at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport offers upscale southern-influenced food, including pork belly sliders, pecan-dusted scallops, and pulled duck sandwiches. Hung's Delicacies at Hong Kong International Airport serves duck tongue in Chinese liquor, sliced goose in marinade, and chicken leg tendons in sesame oil. I don't know, I'm thinking chicken McNuggets sound pretty good right about now. Anyway, plain food at London Heathrow Airport is run by none other than Gordon Ramsay and offers crumb-fried pork, steamed sea bass, and short rib burgers. The top 5 awards this year went to Hong Kong International, London Heathrow, Munich, Singapore Changi, and Amsterdam Schiphol. Wonder how Mr. Ramsay feels about being voted 2nd best. Solar Impulse is still sitting in Madrid, Spain, waiting for a decent weather window to continue its trip across the Straits of Gibraltar to Morocco. The French news service AFP reports that a program spokesman said that it will not likely happen until today at the very earliest. The solar-powered plane flew early last week from Payerne, Switzerland to Madrid using no fuel. In doing so, it crossed the Pyrenees Mountains at an altitude of 27,900 feet. The flight to Rabat, Morocco, will be the first time Solar Impulse has left Europe. Last year, it traveled from Switzerland to Paris for the Paris Air Show, as well as accomplishing a flight to Brussels. All of these flights, including the overwater leg to Morocco, are a tune-up for an around-the-world attempt planned for 2014. The AirVenture Cup Race announces sponsorship opportunities for its 2012 race, scheduled to take place on Sunday, July 22nd. Sponsorships are available to anyone wanting to support the race and provides companies excellent visibility within the aviation community. Last month, race organizers decided to partner with the Sport Air Racing League after learning that EAA no longer wished to be associated with the race. Race organizers are now seeking sponsorships to help this year's race. The race will start in Mitchell, South Dakota, and end in West Bend, Wisconsin, with several checkpoints in between, totaling nearly 500 miles. Cross-country air racing has a long history in the United States, starting in the early 1920s, and has been credited with many advances in aviation technology, speed, and reliability of engines. The organization's goal is to combine aviation history with innovation, new technologies, and individual craftsmanship into one high-octane, fun-filled race that participants and spectators alike will enjoy. Well, we began this report with a story about Amelia Earhart, who disappeared 75 years ago, so it's altogether fitting that we end by turning the Wayback Machine back even further into history. 85 years ago, Charles Lindbergh became the first pilot to fly from New York to Paris nonstop. Now another pilot has announced plans to fly the same 3,600-mile route, but in an electric-powered aircraft. Chip Yates is head of the Flight of the Century team, and while it is in its early stages, has already developed a patent-pending battery deployment solution for replenishing batteries in flight. The Flight of the Century team has purchased a Burt Rutan-designed Long Easy aircraft that is currently undergoing an all-electric conversion in its Orange County, California corporate headquarters. Dubbed the Long ESA for electric speed and altitude, the 258-horsepower composite aircraft is scheduled for flight testing in July, followed by manned world record attempts for highest altitude and fastest top speed for electric airplanes. Gizmag reports that Mr. Yates currently holds the record for the world's fastest electric motorcycle and believes that electric long-haul flight is within reach, and he intends to prove it. His Atlantic crossing flight is not scheduled to take place until 2014, and that's probably a good idea because, you see, Mr. Yates does not yet have a pilot certificate. Volunteers, anyone? That's a wrap on this report of Aero News. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.